Hi, and welcome to Aging in Place for every stage in life. What if you could visit or have a home that would accommodate anyone at any age, any physical ability, at any time? How cool would that be? That's what we're doing here at Aging in Place. Why me? Because I'm a doctor of psychology, and I specialize in physical spaces and health and wellness. Also, I love designing with intent at any age. Why now? Because we, the baby boomers, want to age in place gracefully, and we want our families around us as much as we can. And why you, the audience? Because we want you to experience what it's like to have a home that's safe, aesthetically pleasing, and that you can live in at any age, with any ability, at any time. I'd like to introduce you now to Aging in Place podcast for every stage in life. Hi, and welcome to Aging in Place podcast for any stage in life. I'm here today with my friend, Shelby Bassiano. I've actually known Shelby since she was my spinning teacher maybe 20 years ago. So I appreciate you joining us today.
Hey, Debbie. How are you?
I'm excited about talking to you. Shelby is a physical fitness guru, but in her professional life, she's an occupational therapist. And you might be thinking to yourself, an occupational therapist, an aging in place for any stage in life, whether you're a child or middle-aged or an older adult, what does occupational therapy have to do with aging or even aging in your home?
I'm not sure if people are familiar with what occupational therapy is.
So no,
this is what I tell when I do the power hour at the high school. This is kind of the definition I get. Occupation, how you occupy your time. That would be the definition.
Say. Okay.
So how do you occupy your time if you're a baby?
Okay.
You eat, you
poop,
you
sleep.
Play, and then you sleep. Mm-hmm. You move your fingers, etc. So if you have some type of injury or disease process at that age, an occupational therapist's goal is to maximize your independence and well-being for whatever stage you're at with meaningful goals. So, you know, I'm not going to go get a job for a baby because that would make no sense at all. Okay. But what we do need is to make sure that the baby can eat properly, sucking properly, so they can gain weight and they can get nutrition and thrive.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So an occupational therapist is really important for early intervention situations.
Okay.
And usually it's really, nowadays they're really good about identifying babies in the hospital to get that early intervention. But again, that's why we need access to healthcare. Am I allowed to go political here?
I'm just absolutely. You can.
We need good access to healthcare so that we can identify things like this early on, because the earlier you treat or you start looking at deficits in these performance components is what we call them, then the sooner hopefully you can remedy them and the better chance you have of maximizing your potential as a human being and having a meaningful life and an independent life.
It would have positive impact the earlier the intervention is. So
yes.
We're speaking about babies with occupational therapists. I think it's really interesting with occupational therapy because I think it is one of those specialties that people really don't know what it means.
Yeah.
So you've got three teenagers. What would occupational therapy look like for adolescents?
It could be in a number of different components. I'm going to tell you, if you're an occupational therapist, you can work in a psychosocial setting.
What does that mean?
A kid is physically appropriate for their age. You're 15 years old and you can walk and talk and run and you can do all kinds of things. Your fine motor skills are great.
Mm-hmm.
Your handwriting is great. But you're impulsive in school or you can't sit still or you have a really hard time processing with the fluorescent lights and the teacher talking and all the things that are going on around you. An OT could come in a school setting. It's required by law that they have access to this in public schools.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean that we have great access all the time, but we do. And you would get an evaluation by an OT, and they would, you know, maybe they would say, wow, we have some sensory processing disorders going on here. And a lot of times there's some easy solutions that maybe seem really simple that the kids can use. I mean, you've seen the little cubes, the fidget cubes.
Yes, fidget cubes.
You know, that was really derived from an OT thing, so that your focus is here, and maybe you need pressure in your proprioceptive, which is your touch, and maybe that's going to help you to be able to focus and read
focus.
A book.
That makes sense.
Some kids, you know, they need a test read to them because visually they have a hard time tracking. I mean, a lot of this stuff, again, if we had addressed it earlier, you may have had a better result by high school, but it doesn't mean that you're not a candidate.
I thought the fluorescent lights were interesting too. I oftentimes see when I go to movies now that there is a warning that if you have seizure disorder, any kind of sensitivity to light, that the flashing lights may trigger or cause something, which I think is pretty interesting.
Yeah, right. It is really interesting that there people are more conscientious. The public is more aware of people that have, I don't want to say a limitation, but you have something that people are being a little bit more accommodating, I guess is what it is.
Exactly. Okay, so now let's talk about aging. As we get a little bit older, it's funny because I'm 66 and I'm noticing now from an activities of daily living, areas that I'm not as sharp in. I mean, I'm not...
Toileting? Yeah. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, toileting. No, I'm still pretty good at tinkling, and toileting is good. Okay. But when it comes to things like night, the dark.
Right.
I'm much more prone now to put a night light. And I'm at 66, a night light in. I never have had one before.
Right. Totally a thing an occupational therapist would, if you did a home visit.
Yes.
You would look. And you know what? I'm going to say it. Here in Hilton Head, one thing that I noticed, and again, let me reiterate, I am now a personal trainer and I use all of my skills and I coach. I use them, but I don't work as an OT anymore. But the thing with a home eval, people are very...
skeptical to have you in?
No, they're very attached to their decor. Uh-huh. So if I tell them, hey, you got to move a throw rug because it's a tripping hazard in the middle of the night, or because you have a walker now and it's catching and it's a high risk, safety risk for fall.
People don't like
to take it off. But, you know, I always say, you know, you can get better and then maybe we can put them back down. But those are things that I would look at from just a home value perspective. Somebody comes home with a walker, you know, they got a knee replacement or maybe even a stroke and they're, you know, move things out of the way. Sometimes with a stroke, you are not as aware of your, for instance, your left side, you kind of, because of where it happened in the brain, you're kind of disregarding that left side. So you tend to run into things.
Yes.
So, you know, maybe making a clearer pathway in your household. Another thing that I think is very simple and which would have to do with aging too is think about what your priorities are. If you have something that happens to you, whether you're well or not, you know, if doing your hair wears you out for the whole day because you're deconditioned, for example, have somebody do your hair. I mean, if you have the access.
I hear what you're saying, though.
Again, if I take it a step in the direction of being a little more having a result from a stroke or something like that.
Sure.
You know, my father-in-law, for example, I want somebody to come in and help me. If I have 3 hours a week of assistance,
yes,
I want them to do the bathing and the dressing with him because one, it gives him more dignity.
More the physical stuff.
Yeah. And it wears him out if he tries to do it on his own. I mean, of course, everybody would love to be independent in all facets of activities of daily living, but let's pick and choose in the beginning, especially what's important to me and the caregiver. The caregiver has to be part of the...
Well, it's really interesting. I know when my mom was ill, we had someone come in and talk with us exactly, an OT talking exactly about what you're talking about. And she was like, basically, Debbie, you all are here for emotional support. You need to get people who know what they're doing to come in for physical support. And that's a lot of what you're talking about and what we're talking about now. What we're going to do, Shelby, is we're going to take a quick break. Again, we're talking about aging in place, but the fun part, I think, is talking about it for any stage in life. We've already talked about babies. I mean, what do you do with a one-year-old? You know, what do you do with a teenager? I oftentimes wonder, I had a kid who broke his arm, and it was amazing how limited, when Brandon broke his arm, how limited he was with activities of daily living. He could barely wash his own hair, and I never even thought about it. And then we're talking about as we get older. So we'll be right back again here with Shelby Bassiano. Stay with us here on Aging in Place. Hi, I'm Dr. Debbie Lines. Design elements are psychologically and physically supportive and conducive to health and wellness. To learn more about what Lines on Design can do for you, for more information on certified aging in place and facilitative and supportive design, look for us at linesondesign.com. That's L-Y-N-E-S on design.com. We are back here on the Aging in Place podcast for any stage in life. My friend Shelby Bassiano, who is an occupational therapist. She says she doesn't do occupational therapy now. She's a coach and a personal trainer, but can I be really clear? You do occupational therapy with every single treatment intervention and exercise and coaching step that you do. And I think that's part of why you're here today, because for me, you have a much more holistic approach to everything that you do. In other words, I just don't feel like I'm working a bicep. I feel like I'm kind of contributing to my quality of life.
Yes, I think that is. I mean, hopefully that's what I bring to my clients. And I think it's important to look at the whole person and getting in shape. Another part of occupational therapy, and this would be relate more to the psychosocial aspect that we talked about. I mentioned impulsivity before might be something you would work on, but also goal setting. Goals, you know, what I think is important for you may not be what you think is important for you. So that wouldn't be a good goal. Whatever I'm coming up with, I have to have it meaningful to you.
Okay.
It has to be measurable. We have to be able to break it down into smaller pieces. So all of this information we can take and apply it to anybody at any age. You know, somebody who's got dementia, what part do we need to work on? You know, let's goal set. What's your goal to keep them safe in the house? Make sure that they don't, when they're in the wandering stage, for example, they're not going out and
when you go
in the water, or, you know.
When you take a client, what are some of the questions that you do ask them as it relates to all of these kinds of things? In other words, someone comes in to you and says, look, I'm in a different stage of my life right now. I need to make some changes and adapt. And let's say I'm not an OT client right now. I'm sort of the holistic client. What are you asking me specifically?
It's funny you're asking, because this has been like an influx recently for me with a few women. I'm going to be 50 this year. So what I was training like at 20 and 30, it's completely different. I have a different mindset about it. Not that I think that what I was doing was bad necessarily, but I don't want to do the things that I did before. And I have a lot of women that come to me.
Different priorities and goals.
We talk about priorities and goals, and they sometimes can't, it's hard for them to articulate it.
Okay.
But then when I sit and say, well, what's your goal? And instead of being like, I want to lose the last 3 pounds that I gained, they're like, I want to feel better. I want to wake up and I don't want to feel bad in my body. Mm-hmm. When I wear heels, you know, I don't want to not be able to walk for 3 days. Or,
well, for me at 66, I want to feel strong.
Right. And feel strong. And that is definitely a priority for a lot of, I mean, women and men both, but a lot of women, and they want to feel more at peace. And I think that the crazy aerobic, insane, bouncy, kill it, you know, kind of mentality.
No
changes.
Pain, no gain.
Right. We kind of change that as we get a little older, and not for everybody. And it doesn't work for everybody, but a lot of the people, you know, and they maybe don't think yoga is the right thing for them. Mm-hmm. So I mix in a little bit of all the disciplines that I'm trained in. And of course I'm always using OT, we'll break it down and say, hey, this week I want you to focus on drinking your water.
Okay.
And that's it. That's all you're going to do. And then mentally, everybody can maybe add that into their week. Mm-hmm. And then next week, I'm going to give you four core exercises that you're going to do every single day that are going to make you feel better after a week. I mean, I don't think anybody's ever done them and said, yeah, you're wrong. I don't feel any better.
Do you look at people's, not just fitness levels, but health, health and wellness when you do begin to strategize or come up with a program for them? Do you look at their health and wellness?
Okay. And I look at their activities and what do you want to do? Where are you going? Are you still working?
Okay.
Do you need to have that energy for work? Are you, do you travel a lot? Are you caring for an elderly parent? Mm-hmm. All of these things, you know, really have to have a part in whatever the workout plan is. What's your realistic idea of how much time you can actually spend? And don't tell me something that you think I want to hear.
Like, right.
6 days a week. They look at me like, is that the right answer? I'm like, hell no. I mean, I try to get 4 days a week and I teach 3 days a week. So, you know, I understand, and having kids and you've got a lot of things on your plate, I think you have to really
focus. I know I've got that. Like, I've got a question as my mind is going, my hands mm-hmm. are moving too. Like, Shelby, I have another question. At any age, do you focus on cardio? Is it about strength? Is it now, as I've gotten older, balance, balance, balance? I find that I really want to pay more attention to that. Are those things that are important?
Balance, and you mean actual physical balance, like not falling, or balance in your life?
Oh, no. Oh, good question. Ooh, she's good. I was actually thinking physical balance.
Yeah. A lot of people come and say balance, whatever. You know, it's like a little bit, it's like swimming. If you don't swim, you don't get better at swimming. If you don't, you know, when people say, oh, I'm not good at yoga, I'm not flexible. I'm like, well, you haven't really moved out of the chair in about 15 years, or you sit at your desk and you're always in one position. So I don't really, I really don't like it when people say, oh, I'm not good at something. Cause I'm like, well, have you tried it?
Right.
Have you done it? You know, it's like when the kids say, oh, I don't like that. You're like, well,
try
it.
What?
You did it one time.
That's
Are you
exactly.
kidding me right now? But I do, you have to look at the whole picture. And you know what? To relate back to one of the questions you asked me before, my biggest, the way that I can tell somebody's improving
okay.
is I ask a lot of questions in the beginning about if they have a pain. And most people who come to me, I'm going to be honest, they either have a neck thing. They're like, I just try everything and everything hurts me. And it's really, I'm getting really depressed because I used to do classes 5 days a week or whatever.
Yeah.
So I ask them, okay, when does it hurt? I try to get as detailed. Oh, well, you know what? I was thinking the other day, and I say, text me any time of night. You're not going to wake me up. Text me when you realize, like, oh, when I get up off the couch or when I go to put my arm in my coat. I tell them, just text me, because those are the moments where you're like, and I write those things down, and we work for 1 to 2 weeks or whatever we decide. And then I go back and I look at those notes. Mm-hmm. And often what'll happen when something remedies with your body, you're like, oh my gosh, I forgot that that was hurting me so badly that it was affecting my ability to put my coat on. So that's the way that I try to make it meaningful to them, because often I try to get a quote from them early on, or I was only sleeping 3 hours a night.
Exactly.
And they're like, well, I don't know. I don't know if I'm really improving that much. Cause you know, you do kind of plateau.
But I think
times.
You, right.
And then I'm like, well, do you remember when you came in a month ago and you said you're only sleeping 3 hours a month? I'm like, oh my gosh.
Exactly.
So those are the things.
Well, like you said, that are measurable.
They're measurable.
You set a
right.
goal, you try to measure it. Well, what's really interesting about what you're talking about to me right now is these are activities of daily living that you're talking about, being able to put on your coat without pain.
Right.
You know, am I slouched over a computer all day? Is that probably the source of my stiffness, soreness, pain, ache?
Poor posture.
There you go with your poor posture. Yeah,
posture. I'm a big posture pusher.
At any age.
At any age, and as you age, I mean, gravity's working on us all the time. So let's fight it a little bit.
Can you give us a sneak? We've got 30 seconds in our, or about 1 minute in our second segment. What's a posture picker-upper for us?
I use a lot of cueing. I'm going to say one thing.
Okay.
Imagine somebody put ice down your back.
Ooh. Oh.
Oh. Oh. Okay, so you're sitting at your desk. Somebody put ice on my back. I mean, hopefully everybody out there listening just sat up.
I did.
And it makes you realize, oh, wow, I was really slouched over. Even I was doing it.
Boy, that is, okay, ice down your back. Okay, that's a good one.
Now, my next one I stole from the Carla, the hairdresser. Uncross your legs.
Oh.
You really, crossing your legs throws your hips off. And if you're sitting in a fixed position all the time, you really, I mean, I know that's the polite thing to do, ladies, from 1950, but let's put our feet just flat on the floor and try to sit maybe a little forward on your butt bones.
Okay.
Those
sit bones.
On your sit bones. Okay. Yep.
Okay.
So there's a little.
Are you guys doing this, Tom? Because I'm doing it. Because I like being able to do these things right as we're sitting. It's really interesting.
Yeah.
All right, Shelby, we're going to take a quick break. Isn't this fun? You guys are getting all the cool tips. I love this. All right, stay with us. We'll be right back here on Aging Place.
For more podcast episodes, links, information, and media inquiries, please visit our website at agingInPlacePodcast.com as we transition through life with the comfort and ease you deserve. Discover how you can create a home that will adapt to you as you journey through life and the changes it will bring. Please follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram as our host, Debbie Lines, and her expert guests discuss relevant topics to creating a home for all decades in life. Don't miss our weekly episodes of Aging in Place podcast for every stage in life.
We are back here on Aging in Place. Shelby Bassiano has joined us. She's an occupational therapist, a coach, and also a personal trainer, and she is superior. One of the reasons I love her is she trains people at different ages and different stages in their life. So you kind of run the gamut. I thought it might be fun, since we're actually sitting in my home office right now doing this podcast, to actually walk you through my house. And what makes it interesting for me is I've got 9 grandchildren, so I've got a lot of little kids, and I've got my father, who's 91, here also. So there's a huge multi-generational spread in ages. So, and it's funny, the reason we're doing this, quite frankly, is when she came in, she saw about 4 different things I needed to change right off the bat. So I figured we'll just, we'll just call me out on it. Because I think if I've got it, somebody else does too. So we walked in, it was raining. I had a towel at the front door.
Right. Okay. Wait, let's start. I'm going to get out of the car.
Oh, gosh. Okay.
I'm getting out of the car.
Okay.
It's gravelly.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, so again, some of these things I'm saying, I know that people don't have tons of money to go repave their driveway. That is not what I'm suggesting at all. But pull in, make sure there's a spot saved where your dad has enough space to open the door. There isn't any blockade, for example, because he uses a walker, correct?
Correct.
Right. So, and also you have to have a caregiver come in and help him get out. Walking, making sure there's a smooth path or a clear path that he can approach the house. Then you have steps. Again, a ramp is really nice when you can swing it. But a lot of times people, I mean, one, you can't swing it. And I got to tell you, you can talk to your husband. If you look at the building codes to build an appropriate ramp, I mean, it's going to take up your whole front yard.
It does.
And Hilton Head will decline the permit or whatever, because it doesn't look pretty enough. I don't know. So you're going to just make sure you have a clear pathway. You're not going to have a lot of potted plants in the way, for example, or, you know, make sure if you can possibly, whenever there's stairs, have handrails.
Okay. Brilliant. Yep.
You know, and also, like, for example, I have a handrail on the left side of my steps going up into my house, but my father-in-law stroke has affected his left side and he doesn't really have use of it. So I'll see him reaching over with his right hand, which is highly unsafe.
Right. Okay.
So we're like, okay, well, we need to add a handrail on the other side. I mean, even I didn't. Sometimes the steps are dark in a stairwell. You might want to, if you have those little lights.
Oh, those
can,
little puck
lights. And those
lights.
Are relatively inexpensive.
Oh, they're like $12.
Right. The and some of them are motion sensitive, so they can just turn on when you need them.
That's actually a really good idea.
Right. You come home from nighttime. Even all of us could use it. I trip up the stairs sometimes, and I haven't even had a glass of wine. So, you know, like, you, it's dark, you're like, right. What am I doing? Tired from the day. So, handrails. Now we're walking in your house. You threw the towel down. I get it. I have a dog. So I always have like a towel to wipe their feet after they run in the yard too.
But you're like, danger, raining, danger.
Right. Yeah. That's pretty dangerous. You can trip and fall. Mm-hmm. Again, for somebody with, you know, without any kind of impairment or anything, we're probably not, you know, changing everything. But
although I laugh when you say that, because my dad's less likely to slip on that because he's so aware of it.
Right. He's
but
more conscientious.
The kids, Clementine, my little 2-year-old, went sliding on it the other day. So I think it is funny how you don't pay attention. You don't know what you don't know. And
correct.
Now all at once from doing the podcast, I feel like, can I wayfind this way? Is the lighting right? You know, I notice not just what I'm doing, but what the kids are doing and what my dad's doing. It's really interesting. Okay, so we're in. We take a left into my kitchen area.
Yes. Okay, if you are having issues with strength, upper body strength,
okay.
Or you have one arm that's only working, or, for example, I have a lady who's like, I know how bad I've gotten not coming to you for the last month because of holidays, et cetera.
Sure.
She was traveling. I can't pick up my Pyrex. You know, she has them nested. Okay, so what we do is don't nest them, or only put the one that you use in a lower shelf. Those are just simple. I know it sounds like it's dumb simple, but
it's not,
you know, if
simple.
you use something and it's like, well, it goes on the top shelf. Well, it doesn't have to go on the top
shelf.
Right,
exactly.
Let's just reassess.
Okay,
stuff
accommodate.
Like that. Accommodate. Make sure you have a clear working area. You also, you know, as a designer, you know, like the triangle, right? Is that what it's called?
That's exactly right.
I trained a lot
triangle.
Of designers. I don't
exactly.
really know that, but...
Uh-huh.
You know, make sure that you
have an accessible workspace.
Right, accessible workspace. And if you need to, if your standing endurance is limited, bring a chair in. I, as a trainer, would say, hey, let's try to build that up. But if we're being realistic and you're going to get tired and you're going to become a fall risk because your legs are fatigued, then let's bring a chair in. And you can sit and peel potatoes or...
Do you ever do that with people? Go in and do a home visit and sort of walk and look at their limitations and make recommendations?
Within the scope of my training. I mean, I just do it.
Well,
I
now
do it
for your clients.
Perfunctorily, yeah. And I'm there training, and I say, you know what? If I was you, I would get the wheels off of the desk chair.
Okay.
Because when you sit down, that chair is going to fly out, and you're not very stable right now anyway.
Right.
So things like that, I do. I mean, I can't not do it. I can't not see it. When my kids and my husband and I took a cruise for the holidays, and sitting and watching people, everybody likes to people watch, I think.
I love it. Yeah, it's a blast.
I'm like, oh, what's wrong? He's got, like, he supinates on his right side. But, you know, like, I'm always kind of analyzing and looking, and I wonder what happened, or, you know, I'm looking at their back. So it is kind of a natural thing for me to do. But as a a thing, I would say, you know, get your PT or your OT. You can get a prescription for an evaluation from your doctor.
A home evaluation
is really important.
I think a home evaluation, that's the best takeaway. Get a prescription for that. And let me tell you, again, we're sitting here in my office, and as a therapist, I have an office that I try to make really comfortable. I noticed the other day I had a couple in here, and they weren't particularly old. They were, you know, my age, a little bit younger, and they're rocking chairs. And the man really struggled to get out. Perfectly healthy, but I go ahead. Well, yeah. Look at you and I with our hands.
And the height of the chair, right? So, like, if you have low chairs, like some people have modern, like really sharp looking houses, but you know, like you go to sit down and, you know, you
it
have something wrong and
us.
You're like, oh my gosh, I can't get up.
It takes three of us to get us out.
Mm-hmm. But so living room, looking at the chair, make sure the coffee table isn't right in the middle of the pathway to walk.
Okay.
Little kids. I mean, we know if you've had kids.
Sharp
edges. At my house, my nephew got the glue, you know, they used to do stitches, but now he had to get his forehead glued because he hit the edge of the table.
You have a glass table. And again, with Clementine, it's funny with Clementine and Dad. I put the chairs around the corners because they both inevitably go to that one glass edge corner and hit themselves. I never even thought, I mean, in talking about, I do it intuitively, but in thinking about it from a safety and an aging in place point of view, it actually makes a lot of sense. Now that we're talking about height of things, I wonder if a bed is an issue getting in and out of.
1,000%. There's people who either have the really high beds, which is difficult to get up and in, and then the really low, you know, the platform beds are kind of popular now, so can be an issue as well, because they, you know, a lot of them don't need the box spring anymore, so it makes it even lower. It's just a mattress on the bunkie boards or whatever they call them.
Is there a right way to get out of bed, correct way to get out of bed? I mean, is it more of a roll, or, you know, again, I find my dad struggling to kind of sit up to get out, as opposed to if he rolls to his side. And
I used to have patients that would say, can't I just hook something to the ceiling where I pull up, you know, and they would want to do, they used to have this thing called a trapeze in your mm-hmm. hospital bed, and you would, lift yourself up. But we realized that really that's not encouraging you to improve your strength or anything. So really, I mean, for somebody who doesn't have any issues, get out of bed any way you want to.
Okay.
But otherwise, I want you to roll on your side. I want you to slide your bottom leg and then your left leg. Use your hand to push yourself up. You know, just slow everything down. It's just taking the time. I mean, we know, watch kids. Like when they're, you're like, just slow down, right. Slow down.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
I love it. You know what's fun about this? I really want to have you back again, because I think it would be fun to even talk about, if heaven forbid you fall, what would you do? I think it would be interesting to kind of do a podcast or a program on some actual treatments that we could do. So
yes,
I am so grateful.
Can I give you one little hint? And I'm sorry I spoke over you. I was not a fan of the Apple Watch, but you know that if you fall, it has a capability where it senses if you fall.
Yeah.
And I think it's such a great tool, because so many people don't want to get the medical alert. They feel like it's a...
Yeah.
I'm falling and
right.
I can't get up.
Right.
And you're like, oh, making fun. Like, then you feel like you're old, I think.
Right, exactly.
Watch. Look at it. If you can, yeah, make that work.
Oh, geez. I tell you what, you are.
And I'm not getting paid by Apple either.
Well, I hope we are. So there you go. That would be a great thing.
But if they want some sponsoring.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, Debbie.
Shelby, thank you so much. We've learned a lot. Thank you all for joining us here on Aging in Place for any stage in life.
My professional name that my business cards have is Shelby Sharp. That's my maiden name. It's just easier to remember than Bassiano, although legally I'm Bassiano. And my website is www.fitnessrxhhi, RX as in prescription. Yeah. There's an Instagram page, and I work out of Beach City Fitness in Hilton Head Island. And if you have any questions or you're interested, you can contact me at ShelbyBassiano@gmail.com or hit me up on the website or Instagram, and I'll get back with you.
I'd like to introduce you to a friend of mine, Tracy. Tracy is naturally curious and always creative. And when we were doing the Aging in Place podcast, she said, there are so many quick tips that I can think of offhand. My response, who knew? She's going to be with us every week, giving us a quick tip and a hint that is a practical application.
Thanks, Debbie. Unless you're being arrested, don't raise your arms. When it comes to aging in place, remember your home is about functionality and safety. Everyday use or things you use frequently, especially in the kitchen, need to be within easy reach. You have countertops for a reason. You may have just had a shoulder surgery, or you have a 6-year-old who wants a treat after school. You may even have your aging senior just wanting a cup of coffee. Putting things in easy reach will make things easier on all. For the aging senior I watch over, and for the most part is my research assistant to see if my who knew tips work every week, I place his coffee cups in a drawer instead of a cabinet. The cups are the right height where they're easily pulled out from the drawer. And another hint, exactly how many coffee cups does a senior really need? 3. The answer is 3. The less you store above your head, the less chance of having an accident. Who knew that raising your arms should just be for exercise and not reaching for your cereal bowl?
Probably one of the most fun things I do
during this podcast is listening for the takeaways. This is no exception. Talking to Shelby today was a blast for me, and I got a lot of practical tips. But the takeaway I want to share with you, the one that resonated with me the most, is this. Ask your doctor for a prescription for an occupational therapist to come and do a home visit and a walkthrough. Wow, what a great way to learn some tips for health, wellness, and safety. Thank you all for joining us this week on Aging in Place for any stage in life.
Aging in Place podcast is hosted by Debbie Lyons and produced by Henrik de Gior. If you have any comments or questions, send an email to debbie@agingInPlacePodcast.com. We would love to hear from you. If you're interested in advertising or sponsoring this podcast, email us at pr@agingInPlacePodcast.com. Thank you for listening to Aging in Place Podcast.